Well, today we celebrate a truly extraordinary saint. This is a man who probably had one of the highest IQs in the history of humankind. I'm not kidding. I mean, this is sort of like an Einsteinian IQ in the Middle Ages. You've got St. Augustine, surely. You've got Plato, Aristotle. But Thomas Aquinas ranks right up there with one of the very, very most intelligent people. The most interesting thing about him is that St. Thomas was very humble. His spiritual life seemed to pervade his intellectual life all the way from the time he was like 13 or 14 years old. I mean, already he was excelling. Already, you know, his master, Albert the Great, was already saying, you're going to hear from this guy for generations to come. You know, but yet his own colleagues and his own classmates called him the dumb ox because he was a very large man, slightly portly, and was a person who didn't say a whole lot. And so, you know, his friends improperly inferred that he didn't have much to say. Well, of course, that was completely dispelled, because St. Thomas Aquinas published, before the age of 48, 36 encyclopedic volumes. He completely altered the entire view, the metaphysical outlook on being, in a work that he wrote when he was 28 years old, De Ente et Essentia, on being and essence. And in this work, he identifies being as the highest, not substance or form, as the highest of the metaphysical principles, but being, and shows that form and substance are a part of essence, but that it is being. And then he knows through his own metaphysical proof for the existence of God in that same work, he realizes that, of course, who is God? He is the one and only one that exists through himself. He is being through itself, ipsum suum esse subsistens, being existing through itself as substantial in itself. This is, you know, we're reaching a metaphysical height. And then at the age of 28, establishes all the grammatical categories necessary to make this a standing doctrine that lasts to this very day. I mean, when I read this work for my master's thesis at St. Louis University, I was blown away by it. But I was also blown away by the fact that, gee whiz, here I am, 28 years old. Could I have written this? Ack! I'm lacking some IQ points here, right? I mean, I just suddenly began to realize the significance. And as I began to study St. Thomas Aquinas, and just every topic he talked about in his 30s, he's already writing these tractates, De Potentia Dei, De Veritate, some of the most explicit and detailed encounters between being on the one hand and, of course, mind on the other hand, the whole idea of the agent intellect, the defeat of the Latin averroes, right? And that was just the philosophy. I mean, the guy was over the top. I mean, look at all the scriptural commentaries he did. Look at all the natural commentaries he did, right? Look at all the commentaries on Aristotle, the commentaries, right, on practically every known philosopher, on St. Augustine, and so forth. I mean, the man was responsible for so much. And then just in the area of ethics and morality and virtue alone, I mean, the guy is unbelievable in the magnitude and sensitivity that he had. And as if he didn't have enough to do, he writes a whole bunch of hymns. He writes a whole bunch of prayers that are still in this church today, many of which we use right in our benedictions and our liturgies today. I mean, has there been a light like Thomas Aquinas, except for perhaps the great St. Augustine, the great St. Paul, and of course, the light of all lights, Jesus himself? It is just, of course, he's called the angelic doctor, because, right, even Protestant theologians who were exceedingly intelligent, like Karl Barth, right? Karl Barth was, the dogmatic theology. I mean, if you want a Protestant, dogmatic theological work of immense importance, it's Karl Barth who did it. And you know what Karl Barth said about going to heaven, right? Well, there are two people I'd like to meet when I get to heaven after Jesus. St. Thomas Aquinas and Mozart. That's the magnitude of this man's mind. But above all, what we have to remember is it wasn't, the sheer appreciation of just genius, the sheer appreciation of the energy and the spirit and the zeal of this man who was constant. He dictated to seven different scribes at once, one after the next, he could remember the place he left off on. You talk about the Dewey Decimal System, this guy had it. And of course, at all of this, though, he loved God first and foremost. If I had an IQ like that, I might love myself too much. He did not. He loved his Lord, and he loved him so much that the Lord just opened his heart, and the open heart, of course, became a fundamental kind of spirituality that, infused itself in the very heart of the church. His humility earned him renown because he had every reason to be proud like St. Paul did, but allowed that humility to be pervasive. He let himself be called the dumb ox. Do you realize what he could have done to those classmates of him? Intellectually devastated them, but he did not do it. He loved his Lord. He knew his Lord in his heart and how the Lord would react. And he just accepted it and just went on, even though, of course, Albert the Great was already proclaiming, watch this guy. This is going to change the whole life of the church. Albert the Great was correct. And, of course, St. Leo the 13th, right, great pope, Pope Leo the 13th, writes this tractate, on the eternal philosophy of Thomas Aquinas. And, of course, we have that encyclical and Thomas's works to thank for the great systematic treatises that came out of the Council of Trent and still continue to influence us today and guide us in our philosophical thought, our theological thought, our spiritual thought, our exegetical thought, but above all in the thought that the heart, the supremacy of the heart, and acquiring the imitation of Jesus and imitating the heart of Jesus stands at the center of everything Christian, and from that flows all of the other wonderful gifts of intellect and dogma, all of the wonderful gifts of ecclesiology, all of the wonderful gifts of theology and philosophy that were brought to us by the angelic doctor. Amen.